Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to take a journey prophetically. You've been listening, if you've been with us in our audience over the years, we've been loosing these prophetic words step by step. So where we are today, God has revealed these things prophetically. I don't know if you remember or not. Well, first we want to say, Russia is in Syria. Russia just came into the American military base in Iraq, allegedly saying to us, you have 1 hour to get out of Syria because we're going to come in there and we're going to deal with ISIS. And who did they deal with? They dealt with the ones that we've been supposedly arming against Assad. We're another four against that, but they gave us 1 hour. We didn't get out of there in time. We don't even know what really happened to our soldiers in there, but it obviously wasn't good. But let's find out, because this could be, you know, this could be the moment where Gog and Magog are coming down. You got the king of Russia coming down from the north. You got Persia, which is Iran, negotiating with the president of Russia. You have Iraq inviting Russia to come in. Today they're talking about that. And it's like, what's going on right here? Well, let's go take a prophetic journey. Do you remember when President Barack Obama, he said to King Assad, he said, listen, you can see it right here. He says, I'm going to draw this red line. And if you cross this red line, then we're going to deal with you. He crossed the red line and nothing happened. It was totally amazing what took place. Do you remember when we talked about on a VFN TV and VFN radio, we talked about, you know, the Democratic National Convention that was taking place, I believe, supposedly, in the same place of this 1,000-year flood that's going on, but said specifically that when they try to change their platform and take God out of the platform of the Democratic Party, they wanted to remove Israel as the capital of Jerusalem. And against their will, they pushed it in the platform, but the people were saying, we don't want Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. As a matter of fact, let's just go back and remember what took place on VFN TV, September the 5th, 2012, what we showed you. When America was choosing its leaders, they had, you know, the conventions going on. They had one down in Florida. They had one up in South Carolina, wherever it was, with the Democratic National Convention. But they have a platform, and a platform basically is, what are we, as Americans, in this particular party, what do we believe? What do we want to stand for? What's our values? Well, at that particular gathering at the Democratic National Convention, which was led with, you know, an Islamic prayer, it began with an Islamic prayer, it was dedicated by a lady by the name of Vashti, which is very prophetically important to understand what that name means, Vashti. But in addition to that, they had the Russian Navy behind them while they were talking, and not the American Navy in the water. All those ships was actually, I don't know if you can see it now, but that was the Russian Navy that was there on that big monitron thing behind them while they were talking. Why is the Russian Navy behind our potential next leader of the country? But the biggest thing of all, despite all of that, is where did they want Jerusalem and the platform? Did they want to acknowledge God as God and that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, or do they want it removed? They actually removed it. And if it wasn't for a pastor from Ohio, guess what? It wouldn't be there today. But you know what? They were forced to do this. You got to see this. But I'm about to show you today, right today, this very day, they're coming against Israel. Take a look at this. Democratic National Convention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the Platform Drafting Committee Chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform. As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story and informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition, President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the... Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. I guess.
And then you've got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service.
So we're unfolding. We're going to work because Russia's in Syria right now. But we've got to understand, look what just happened right there at the Democratic National Convention. You saw the Russian Navy. That was the Russian Navy ships in the background. Remember, we're going to have it for a little bit. Remember, he said, I'll have more flexibility to Russia. And he says, I'll transmit that to Vladimir. Well, they did. Well, they just took Israel, took Israel out of the platforms, Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Well, people were saying, this pastor was saying, we didn't want that. And so he actually made a nomination to bring it back in again. And when he did that, against their will, they're saying, boo, boo, we don't want that. They went ahead and just pushed it through anyway. But guess what they did with the Supreme Court? They dealt with this matter at the Supreme Court, and now they did what they wanted done. If you're born in Jerusalem today, you cannot say I was born in Jerusalem anymore. You have to say I was born in Israel. Why? Because they undid it. Take a look right here. This is our program. And on June the 10th, 2015, so you can see firsthand. Take a look. When plans and fundamental transformations take place, it happens over a period of time. You know, no matter what, that because you've been given authority, because man's been given authority, enemy has to get your buy-in. You have to go, hey, I'm going to vote myself out. I'm going to vote. And the vote was, no matter what the LA mayor pushed through, the vote was very specifically, we vote Israel, Jerusalem, not the capital of Israel. It was already removed out. Somebody came back and said, hey, we want to put it back in. As a matter of fact, I want you to see right here, this is the amendment. I want to read it to you because it was real quick when they showed it right there. If y'all can show that. But the amendment said, you have it up right there? There we go. This is what they were putting back up. It was page 63 of line 26 of the DNC platform. Jerusalem is and will remain the capital of Israel. The parties have agreed that Jerusalem is a matter for final status negotiations. It should remain an undivided city accessible to people of all faiths. I mean, think about that. I mean, you think about it, and so they didn't vote for it. They just shoved it through. They realized we got caught, obviously, it appears, and they just pushed it through. But what just happened in the Supreme Court lines up exactly what they asked for, at the Democratic National Convention, and guess what? That's what America voted for. Washington's not our issue. America voted for someone and something and an idea and a concept that said we don't want to acknowledge Israel's capital as Jerusalem. And when you think about Abraham and way back in the beginning of all times, when he actually gave an offering to the king of Salem, Jerusalem. That's God's land. That's God's property. And all of the nations are going to be judged in the end day in the valley of Jehoshaphat based on what they did to this land. When you see people strategizing against Israel, the Jews in Jerusalem, that is not a Isn't that amazing? So what they did is they went to the Supreme Court and they ruled right now, if you're born in Jerusalem, you cannot say as an American, you cannot say I was born in Jerusalem. You have to change your identification saying that I was born in Israel. They did it anyway through the Supreme Court. Isn't that interesting what they're doing through this small amount of judges right here? When we get back from the break, we're going to talk even more prophetically. What's happening right now in Syria? What's happening in Iraq? What's happening in the Middle East? And we're going to talk about our program back from September the 13th in 2013, where I was talking prophetically about how the Arab League came to America and said, you know, we will pay for this war if you'll defeat ISIS. And the president, Barack Obama, just hands the United Arab League over to like 22 Muslim nations over to President Putin. This thing has been happening for quite some time.
We're taking this prophetic journey that, you know, previous programs on VFN TV, VFN Radio, where you actually hear and see how things were being loosed prophetically. Now we're looking at Russia and Syria. But if we just, this is what secular news does. They just keep telling you what is. They don't tell you why. They don't tell you where things are going. Hmm. They say they think. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. This is perilous times. America's in trouble. Israel's in trouble. I mean, God's going to move, and he is moving as we speak. But we need to pay attention to what's taking place. Back in September the 13th of 2013, I was talking to you about, and you can remember this, I think they're going to play this in just a moment, but the Arab League, which is 22 Muslim nations.
North Africa.
North Africa. They said, listen, we'll pay for this war if you'll defeat ISIS, America. And the president basically just gives the whole football over, passes this whole Arab League over to President Putin. Basically, you know, when remember he said, I'll have, when he was talking to the president of Russia at that time, you know, he said, I'll have more flexibility after the election. He said, I'll transmit that to Vladimir. Vladimir is now the one who just came into Syria. As a matter of fact, let's take a look back at that prophecy on September the 13th, 2013. Take a look. That's
well,
why
the Arab League was turned over to.
Yeah, you have that. Then you have Iran. When Iran was, they're getting their nuclear power plant things from Russia. Reports are some of the weapons that came into Gaza came from Russia. You know, it was written on there. But also, when the United Arab League got together, and I would say there's how many nations?
About 22 nations.
How many Muslims?
Most of them were all Muslims.
I know, that. But how many? It was half a million, or it was just many, many, many. But 21 so nations were involved. Think about nations involved in the United Arab League, and so they came over. You know, based on the reports of Fox News, we're watching this report, and they said, "Listen, if you will fight, if you'll go in and deal with." Assad in Syria, we will pay for the war. It won't cost you a dime. Instead of us going there to take care of this thing, the president passes the football off to Prime Minister or to Putin.
Right,
President Putin. I mean, he gives the entire leadership of the Arab League and this whole Syrian crisis over to Putin.
You remember right prior to that. I mean, the president was adamant about drawing this red line that these chemical weapons were used on the people from Assad, the president of Syria, that he was going to go in there. And, I mean, we had an aircraft right in the sea, and all of a sudden it was stopped. And that's when he turned everything over.
Yeah, but and then you just can't help but reflect back to the moments when he was there with actually he was with the president at that time of Russia, and he said, told him on mic – you know, heard this, that he said, well, just tell Putin that I'll have more flexibility after the election. And he said, I will transmit this to Vladimir. You know, that's what he said. And it's like, it looks like it got transmitted. And then you think about this, and I wish we had this image to go up, and maybe you can see it, that that when the DNC met, the Democratic National Convention met, and you have the GOP when they met, but when you had the DNC meet, they had a huge image up behind them, and hopefully you can see this. And this is the interesting thing. Of all the imagery you could put behind you when you're running for the president of the United States, look at this. They actually put up the Russian Navy. Mm. I mean, this thing is – this monotron, look how big it is compared to the stage. That's the Russian Navy, by the way. We might not even know that. That's the Russian Navy.
Wow.
And messages are being sent right off the bat about flexibility, about – you know, all these different things. And now that's a huge message sent by. You're looking at a message being transmitted to Vladimir from the Democratic National Convention. You're running for the president of a country. You don't find some other country's navy or military to put up behind you. That was not by accident. I don't know, but open mic just doesn't happen. You don't say things like that on an open mic. And you're seeing these things take place as we speak. I was talking to Michael Bodilla. He is the grandson
of Demetrius Duderman, who prophesied about America, about it's burning, right? The name of the prophecy, but America on fire, whatever. We have that for you on the VFN Torch. And we're talking very specifically about what we're seeing take place today, because this program and next program, we're going to be talking about the economy is shifting and is about to shift. And it is, you know, follow the money, you know, follow the money.
No doubt.
But I want you to see prophetically where I'm talking to Michael Bodea here, September 2013, where we're talking about this prophecy. And so this right here is the interview with Michael Bodea right here. And it'll show you prophetically where we're speaking in advance, where there's going to be a deal between China, Russia, and North Korea about doing away with the American dollar being the trade currency. Guess what? That's what we're going to be talking about in this program and the next program. It's happening before our very eyes. Listen to this. I want you to share some specifics. One is continuing ever how God leads you in the context of that. But the one dream that was given to your grandfather on April 22nd, 1996, about Russia, China, and America, because it just happened this week. It happened this last couple of days at the G20, and it happened in Syria when all of a sudden the president of Gog and Magog, Russia and Moscow, comes in and he rescues the day. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but he put an op-ed in the New York Times rebuking America.
Oh, you know what? Let me just say this.
Go ahead.
Whatever. And I know it's going to irk a lot of people. Right now, Putin is playing chess while we're playing checkers. To be honest with you, he put us in a position where there is no easy way out. And again, yeah, this was something that was foretold way, you know, I mean, my grandfather was still alive when he had this dream.
Yes.
I don't have it in front of me. I wish I did, but I don't, because I had no clue what we were going to talk about tonight. We thought that Russia died with the death of the USSR. And a lot of people gave us a lot of flack when we kept saying, look, these people are going to rise again. This nation is going to rise again. It's going to be a power again. And slowly but surely, the bear has awakened.
Yes.
We're seeing the Russians take center stage, and we're seeing a man like Putin, who's been around a very long time. He's a very shrewd cat, and the guy knows what he's doing. We're seeing him confident enough in his position to start flexing his muscle. And the thing that really scares the American public is the fact that nobody's afraid of us anymore. Yes. You know, we don't demand the respect that we once did. We don't even have the allies that we once did. I mean, England, for Pete's sake, England would not approve war. And this was the first time in what, like 60 years or something, you know, something like that. It's unbelievable. And we're seeing our own power deteriorating, and it goes hand in hand with the deterioration of our moral standard.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't want to make the connection. But it's there. The further we get from God, the weaker we become.
Yes.
And the less moral we become, the more foolish we seem to the rest of the world. You know, and everything goes hand in hand, because God is wise. He says, if my people that are called by man, if only we would return to him and forsake our ways and repent and bow before him in humility, he would restore us. But we choose not to, because, well, you know, we're Americans and we beat our chest. Well, I'm sorry, we're not what we once were. And we're getting worse and worse and further from the light. And other nations that we thought heathen are more moral on a basic level than we are.
And yeah, and you think this is what the word that was given is. In April 26, 1996, it says, the voice came, and it says, watch where Russia penetrates America. He says, I saw these words written, Alaska, Minnesota, and Florida. And, of course, we're based out of Florida. Then the man spoke, when America goes to war with China, the Russians will strike out, warning. The other two presidents spoke, we too will fight for you. Each had a place already planned as a plot of attack. All of them shook hands and hugged. Then they all signed a contract. One of them said, we're sure that Korea and Cuba will be on our side. Without a doubt, together we can destroy America. The president of Russia began to speak insistently, why let ourselves be led by the Americas. Why not rule the world ourselves? They will have to be kicked out of Europe too. Then I could do as I please in Europe. And it goes on to say that's exactly what's happening as we speak. This very, very moment where you see this, the Syrian situation where the president of Russia comes in and saves the day. The president basically bows down to the whole situation because he was being pushed by something, obviously, to do what happened there. And now this whole thing is being set up in regards to there's a war. And China, this is what China said. This is what China said to America, Michael. And we're talking a biblical perspective. We're talking prophetic. We're not talking politics here. We're talking what God's saying. This is what China said to America. That's what he said to our president. You better think twice, like three times. You better think twice before you fire a shot in Syria.
I mean, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
wow.
You think about it, it's a well-thought-out statement, you know. You better think thrice. And you think about here, Alaska, Minnesota, Florida, you know, you think about the three leaders that were together making covenants. Say, and you think about the American dollar now, the G20. And this is what God was stirring on my heart was, that when the G20 came together and the very last one in the procession, way last, after our economy's been driven way down on the ground, the first was the president of Gog and Magog, the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. The last was, by a long shot, was the American president. I mean, every nation was there in the G20 walking up, which represents the economy and the money and the dollar. And they came on through, and then all of a sudden, like he wasn't even, it was so, America was so far behind, it was almost like 5 minutes behind the last person. And the picture we have on the BFN torch, when the president of Russia is coming out, it's almost like our president is bowing down to Russia when Putin comes out. And then you go to the other kings, it's like God is humbling our nation before our very eyes and nobody sees.
So you're looking at right now, we get back for this break. Now we're going to go into today's headlines where Russia has entered into Syria. And remember, they even been asked by the president of Iraq to come into Iraq. We get back from the break. You got to join us. These are amazing days. Prophecies being fulfilled. Remember in the book of Revelation, he says all the prophecies have been fulfilled. What does that mean? It is done. It is over with. Every time prophecy is being fulfilled, realize that day is getting closer and closer. This has got to make you probably a little on edge or anxious about what's going on, but realize God's got things under control. As a matter of fact, we wanted to thank you, you know, for your partnership. You can partner with us today. You're going to see firsthand now. It's going to make sense to you as we're coming into Syria, as Russia's coming into Syria, our troops are being asked to step out, you know, what's taking place. And this is really, you got to join us also in our next program, because we're going to even talk about more and unfold this economy shift. Where, you know, you're hearing this prophetic word of Michael Padilla and, you know, Russia and China and North Korea, you know, it's going to be very well explained in our next program how that's going to work, you know, based on our understandings. But understand this, the Lord's given us armor. He's given us, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about it, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirod, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Did you know peace is a weapon? Peace is a weapon. You can have. It's okay to be peaceful. It's really okay to be peaceful. Sometimes we have to give ourselves permission. You know, there's so many things going wild and going crazy, and it's like, is this a sin for me to be peaceful and joyful right now? It's not. The Lord told us, you know, just to hold on. We're not running the world. God's running the world. You know, He's the one determining what's going to happen next and what He's going to allow or not allow. But we want to say thank you to all those that have partnered with us, and we want to challenge you. Wouldn't you want to be a part? Imagine that this was your last week on earth, your last year. You never know. You just really never know when that day would come.
Never know.
But at that moment, we're going to stand before God and we're going to answer for our life. And He commanded every one of us to be the light of the world, to keep the conversation light, to no matter where we are in this dark world, we're supposed to be light, the truth. And your partnership with VFN TV, when you go to VFNTV.com, and click on partner and partnership for any amount whatsoever, or write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or call us at 844-408-3688. You can call and partner with us today or write to us and say, you know, I want to partner with you. We have a gift for you. The gift is a talk on the weapon of peace. It's going to really encourage you. You're going to really need this. You can see it on your screen right now. The weapon of peace. And we'll send that to you in a gift of any amount whatsoever. And also want to remind you, too, those that partner for $25 or more are VFN Kingdom business partners working on those seven mountains that we talk about all the time. And we're so thankful for all of our partners and our VFN Kingdom business partners. Hopefully, really soon, we have a Vine seminar coming up. We're so excited about that. And we have access to a lot of things. One is Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast is available for all of our VFN Kingdom business partners that are there. But a gift of any amount whatsoever, saying, you know what, I want to partner every month for whatever amount. You can do that by writing to us, calling us, or you can go online and follow partnership, you know, partner now. And we'll send you this DVD as a thank you for partnering with us. We're doing this together. We're doing it together. So here we are, this prophetic journey that we've been on, going back and looking at previous programs that we've had where we wanted to show you, you know, we're not just telling you the news. We're showing you prophetically how God's been already been talking about these different things, because it's not enough to know the news. You needed to know what to do with the news that you know. And God says, I don't do anything unless I reveal it to my people first. And so he reveals these things prophetically. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing this journey, and here it is. It's happening. And who would have ever thought, this is so serious, that Russia, the king of Rush, you know, Gog, whoever, you know, Gog and Magog, they're coming in to Syria, and they didn't fight against the ISIS there. They fought against the people that our president, for some reason, chose to arm to fight against King Assad. Mm-hmm. He's fighting for King Assad. As a matter of fact, let's watch this report now from CBN.
Russian fighter jets strike deep into the heart of Syria. But instead of hitting ISIS, the Russian bombers destroyed targets in Homs and Hama, cities where only U.S.-backed rebels are fighting against the Assad regime. This amateur video shows the mayhem and carnage left behind by the Russians. The Russians provided only an hour advance warning of the airstrikes. That potentially endangered American pilots already in Syrian airspace. President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry say they welcome Russian efforts to defeat ISIS. But while the Russians insisted they hit 20 Islamic State targets, including a command center, U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter questioned their motives.
It does appear that they were in areas where there probably were not ISIL forces, and that is precisely one of the problems with this whole approach.
So it now appears Russia has entered Syria only to help prop up Bashar al-Assad's dwindling regime. Some members of the president's own party are questioning the decision that gave Russia that green light to join the fight.
The problem with Russia is we do not trust their motives. They are propping up Assad, who is a barbaric and tyrant leader of Syria.
Some of the worst criticism came from Republican Senator John McCain, who said Russia has gained a foothold in Syria because of President Obama's retreat from the Middle East. McCain said there has been, quote, a series of decisions or non-decisions, which has led to the situation we see today, where Vladimir Putin may have inserted Russia into the Middle East in a way that Russia has not enjoyed since 1973, when the Russians were thrown out of Egypt. Several years ago, President Obama drew a red line against Bashar al-Assad's use of chemical weapons against his own people. Today, many Americans are likely wondering if the president has the will to draw another red line in Syria. This time against the Russians. Gary Lane, CBN News.
Is this not something? Remember, we're talking from 2012, or we're talking from 2013, 2014, and here it is. You know, God
convergence.
Says, and we can't say, oh, how did this happen? What's going on? The question is, why haven't we been paying attention?
Right.
Why did we, you know, not intervene with this? Imagine this. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about this. And also in our next program, we're going to continue the conversation. But right now, it was a deal cut in 1972-3 with taking America off the gold standard. And what they said was, let's just make it based on oil. Let's make it based on oil. And with that, what happens is that instead of money being valued by gold, it's being valued by oil. Mm. And what we told Saudi Arabia, who is the biggest producer of oil on the face of the earth, 70%, I believe, of the oil comes from the Middle East area right there. But Saudi's got, 250 billion barrels just sitting there. Is that we will defend you if you will allow everybody on the face of the earth to have to convert their money to the American dollar before they buy your oil, then we will defend you. Mm-hmm. Which means is we weren't even worried about. That's why we can print so much money. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter what the krona's worth. It doesn't matter what the ruble's worth. It doesn't matter what the ruby's worth. It doesn't matter what these different currencies are worth, because they got to take their currency and convert it to dollars before they buy oil. Now imagine this overnight, that we have to convert our money to rubles, to Russian rubles or renminbi. What's it called? Remedy or whatever.
China's currency.
You think about that. And what it means is overnight, gas can cost us $15 a gallon. It could be 50. It could be like the Weimar Republic. And we talked about that before. We'll make it related to this program. But overnight, the money became so useless in the Weimar Republic that their kids used stacks of money for building blocks.
Wow.
We are going to talk more about the economy shift tomorrow. Make sure you join us on tomorrow's program. We're going to go right to this prophetic warning about Russia coming into Syria from Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. You got to hear. It is a lot of wisdom.
Saudi Arabia is the biggest oil spigot in the world, supplying the world right now. Now, the U.S. has overtaken Saudi Arabia recently, but most of ours being used in domestic consumption. We're not a big oil exporter again yet. We could be. Could be if they had finished the Keystone Pipeline and some other things like that. But they're going to go after Saudi Arabia, at least threaten Saudi Arabia, threaten the oil output from that region and drive the prices back up, stabilizing the Russian economy. So you look at that, and if, you know, remember, understanding means you stand under the other person's place. So putting yourself in Putin's place or in the interest of Russia, it's a brilliant move. But what we need to understand is we're facing a leader who is dynamic, decisive, and wise from his perspective. Now, it's not in our interest, and what he does not have America's interest. He obviously has a tremendous dislike for America. But listen, he is seizing the initiative. And in military terms, that's one of the worst things that could possibly happen is when you lose the initiative. Because as long as you have the initiative, you've got your adversaries having to react to you, and they don't know what you're going to do next. They're on the defensive. And you're the one who's calling the shots, calling the plays, and they're having to react to you. Up until this time, up until the last few years, America has had the initiative almost throughout the world because of our power. Now, there's a big vacuum. Our country is weakened economically, militarily, and all of a sudden, Russia is making these bold moves to fill that vacuum, and they are doing it. Obviously, you can look at our present leadership. They're not going to do a thing. Russia knows it. Putin knows it. They're not going to do anything but talk. They are left scratching their heads about what's going on, trying to put the best face on it possible, and it's embarrassing to watch this happen for American citizens. So what does that mean? Well, we've got to go back and link this to other things that are going on, especially in China right now. And what does this mean for the future of our country and the world, especially over what I believe is going to unfold in 2016? That we need to understand these things that are happening now are going to have huge repercussions that I think is going to be felt in an increasingly big way throughout the next year. So what does all this mean? We just share with you yesterday, these were major events that just happened when the Russians started hitting targets in Syria, gave us a 1-hour warning. Couldn't have been a bigger slap in the face. That in itself is absolutely astonishing. A 1-hour warning to get your people out. If we had people there, they're gone. They did not have time to get out of there. We probably didn't have time to get word to them and much less get them out of that situation. We could have lost our own troops, our own special ops people, in those bombs. I don't know that we did, and if we did, we may never know it. It's the way things operate over there. But the fact that they didn't even hit ISIS, you know, Russia sat down with our president at the UN, Putin sat down with our president saying, we're going to help you defeat ISIS, we're coming on, we're going to work together. Our president's smiling, our Secretary of State, everything's working out with us in Russia. The next day, they didn't hit ISIS, they hit our people. The ones we've been trying to fortify in the battle against Assad. Now, I'm not saying that was a smart thing anyway. Let's look at the history of the results of us trying to remove evil dictators. The ones we perceived had to be removed. What are the consequences? Show us where that has worked out well. I mean, just think back about it. And, you know, what's happening in Libya is turned into just another base for ISIS. ISIS arises in the vacuum there in Syria and Iraq. It's, you know, we can go back further than that. We wanted to get the Russians out of Afghanistan, so we armed this guy called Osama bin Laden to get rid of the Russians. That didn't work out too good either, did it? And, I mean, my point being, you know, there are a lot of bad guys. You've got to be a bad guy to be a dictator in this world. There's no question about that. But there is some stability that people bring and other things that at least are holding some things together. And we try to go in and impose democracy on people who don't even understand what that means, much less how to do it. We've been doing democracy in our country for about almost 250 years, and we're still having major problems. This is not a simple thing, but we have this simple idea. We can go in and get them voting and get them self-governing, and that isn't going to happen for people who've never done this before, don't know how to do it. And the vacuum gets filled with a worse evil. It's almost like what the Lord said, when you cast a demon out of a person, if you don't fill that vacuum, seven more, even worse, come in. And that's what's happening to nations right now. Something much worse is filling the vacuum created by a very foolish foreign policy on the part of the United States and many others. Now, I'm not saying everything we've done back there was wrong and all, but I'm saying we've got to look at the fruit of these things and measure the fruit. Okay, now let's go back. So we have Russia filling this vacuum left by the degrading of American, both, you know, our military power, our economic power. We are in far weaker condition than almost anybody knows. But not only that, our credibility with our allies is possibly at an all-time low. Nobody trusts us. Nobody. We have been the most inconsistent, foolish ally in recent years. It has been absolutely, it has definitely been disgraceful for such a great nation to behave the way we've behaved. Okay, so our allies don't trust us. Our enemies don't respect us. And this vacuum is getting filled by something far worse, far more dangerous. Okay, so I just put out what I think Russia's up to, building this alliance with Iraq, Syria, Iran. They're going to together threaten Saudi Arabia, the other oil exporting countries there, and the price, drive the price of oil up. This will help Russia more than any other nation in the world right now. It will probably help Russia. Not only that, it's going to help Iran. It's going to help everyone else who hates us a whole lot. And it's going to hurt the West in a huge way. Now, what happened in China over the last couple of months is going to have some of the, I think, the most serious long-term economic, negative economic consequences of anything that's happened since 2008. And this could end up being far worse than 2008. China had a stock market crash that was worse than our 1929 crash. Now, China's just getting their feet on the ground as far as a market economy, and this huge crash hits. You know, some estimates right away were that 100 million Chinese lost everything, and they had a lot to lose. They had started becoming some of the most wealthy. China was producing more millionaires and billionaires than any other country. They were huge consumers on the world market, huge consumers. They were the economic engine driving the world economy. I think over the last decade, without China and what was going on in China, I think the whole world's economy would have been in a steady decline. Recession, if not depression. If China comes along, keeps us going enough. Now, we also had other factors, artificial factors that also have negative long-term consequences, like quantitative easing, just printing money in our country and trying to pump up the economy just artificially, you know, just by throwing money at it, which is seriously devaluing, you know, our currency. And you say, well, the dollar is at an all-time high. It's at an all-time high because people don't have anywhere else to go right now, and it could crash. It could go to zero really quickly. Okay, it's at an all-time high because people still have some faith in America, in the American economy. It's not so much now in us. It's just where else in the world can they go? There is nowhere else to go. So there are a lot of things artificially holding up our currency, the value of our currency, but suppressing other areas in our economy. Our economy cannot really grow with the quantitative easing and other things that are happening. We're in a really shaky, weak situation right now economically. So is the whole world. Europe's in worse shape than we are in many fundamental ways. It's not just Greece, Spain, and Italy, and some of the others, Portugal. I tell you, Europe, if it weren't for China and China's market, we would probably all be in the tank. Now, right here at this weakened condition, when all of a sudden the Chinese market has been slammed the way that it is, we know they're not going to be purchasing and consuming, keeping the world's economic engine going the way that they were. And all of a sudden, you hit the whole world with petroleum prices going up, energy prices going up. It couldn't happen at a worse time. And I tell you, we're set up for a major economic catastrophe. And I think that the boldness, the callousness, the absolute contempt for our leadership that Putin is showing right now, the Russians, but the whole world is showing that, because honestly, they've behaved in such a foolish way. They have no respect around the world. And we don't have a decisive leader in place. We don't have anyone that the world fears or respects. We're very disrespected. And we warned. Many have warned. You know, America's, we may do a lot of things wrong. We do a lot of things right. But one thing, without us, what will the world look like if America's removed and our influence is removed? What is going to restrain the forces in this world? Okay, China, you know, with the economic shaking they're going on, one reason you don't hear it all over the news, and it is such a big news item, it should be plastered on the front pages every day, what's happening in the economy in China right now. But it's not, because one thing, China has a very controlled media. They can't just write anything they want. Our media is not smart enough to discern what's going on. We have very, very few in our media today that really understands economic issues. We have very few in the government that really understand what's going on. So they're not picking up on it. It's not coming across the wire service, so why talk about it? Our media is very skewed. And you know, that's one of the things Winston Churchill actually warned about, becoming a threat to humanity. was an increasingly compromised media that did not report the truth. We report what we think people want to read, what's going to sell papers, what's going to... You know, a couple of years ago when shark attacks were on the news almost every day, you know, there were fewer shark attacks that year than maybe any year in recent history, but it was a slow news day. So here's the only thing we got to talk about. Let's pump up these shark attacks. Everybody was afraid to go to the beach. You had probably a greater chance of being hit by a meteorite than bitten by a shark. But things are skewed. We've got to have discernment. We've got to have discernment from above. We've got to understand what's going on. How are we going to prepare for this? Now, we're in for, I believe, the biggest economic slide. And it may not happen all at one big dip. Yeah, it could. I think we could have some other big jolts economically this fall before, you know, January 2016. But 2016 is shaping up to be one of the most intense years we've ever had. And the economic dangers have, I don't think, ever been greater for the U.S. economy, for the world economy. And that means everything else, too. So how do we get ready for it?
Be sure you join us in our next program. We're going to be talking about how this all works and possibly the shifting of the economies of the world and all these prophetic words God's given us and a detailed explanation based on presumably what might be happening next. But I want to pray. But remember to pray for us. We need a lot of prayer. This is difficult yes. days. We're walking. We by God's grace, we're going to plan on still being here. And as long as the Lord will have us, as long as you continue to partner with us and stand with us and pray with us, I want to pray for you now. Father God, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for all those that are a part of this program. Father God, we just pray a blessing on their ministry, the light that they are. We pray over our audience, God, that you would bless them and protect them and keep them, God, and that you would put a spirit of prudent preparation over your people, Father God, and be prepared for a day such as this, Father God. And we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival. We ask in Jesus' name. God bless. Thanks for watching. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.